All right, well, let's get this ball rolling. What do I even do besides say?
Get the ball rolling. Call the meeting to order at
the Pledge of Allegiance and
5:10.
5:10.
And I can I'll do some of the typing while you, so you're not having to type and lead simultaneously. Okay. But
all right. Well.
And we'll do roll call. Oh, but it looks like you've already listed everyone, but for the recording, if we can get a roll call of everyone that's here. Scott Aylett.
Stacy Beck.
Angie Garrell.
Becky Hill.
And Melanie Shaw. Oh, yeah, I forgot to put my name in. All right. Next.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to make a comment?
Seeing none.
Seeing none. Oh, here comes Ben. You are saved.
All right. Ben.
How's it going, Ben?
Hi, Ben.
Sorry, my house is everything headed home.
No.
There you go.
Oh, I have something.
We were just doing public comment, so if you would like to make a comment from the public, now's your shot.
Is this new?
We added it, I think, earlier this year.
Okay.
Actually, no, we added it last year.
But nobody ever is here from the public. Is that just
we've had two. We've had two. Oh. We had one last year. With the materials disputes.
Okay. It was one last year.
Yeah. Like public comments.
Oh, yeah, and then we had the one.
Yeah, and then we had one a few months ago. Ben's neighbor came and had some really good feedback and thoughts and ideas.
Great.
She actually referred me to a friend of hers that does homeschooling, and she recommended that she come in to kind of give that perspective to somebody who's doing homeschooling. So I'm gonna contact her and see if she'd like to come to one of the next.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be great. Great. Next item is reviewing minutes from last month, or I guess not last month, from July. So we talked about some upcoming events with summer reading party. We had one item for review for material reconsideration requests. We reviewed some changes to the internet use policy to make sure that we were compliant with federal requirements for grant funding. We reviewed the strategic plan and adopted that, and then did a brief training over the library budget and some changes to the budget for FY26, and then a brief discussion about some reorganization within the adult and teen departments. Combining those into one department, kind of like what we have in the children's department. So that's kind of a brief overview of our July meeting. So would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the July 2025 meeting.
I'll go ahead and do that.
So first second. From Angie, a second from Ben. All in favor, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Great. Okay, upcoming events. One that we'll kind of highlight, I guess two that I put on here. The first is we're working with the Krishna Temple in the unincorporated county. They're going to come and help host a Diwali event in October. It's going to be for all ages, so Wednesday, October 15th.
What's Diwali? I don't know about that. What is Diwali?
That is a really good question.
What is that
celebration? Let's go to our events calendar. It's in October. Scroll out. Yeah. October 15th. Let's read. Join us to celebrate and learn about the Hindu holiday Diwali presented by the Sri Sri Radha Krishna Temple. Celebrates the victory of light over darkness, good over evil, and knowledge over ignorance. Learn more about Diwali through demonstrations, crafts, music, and dance. So it's going to be for all ages. Kind of more of a cultural rite. Get to know a little bit more about some other cultures and
did they reach
celebrations.
Out to you, or did you reach out to them?
I think we reached out to them.
Oh,
BYU does one, and we kind of went to it for a bit last year. It's awesome.
Oh, fun.
The what was?
BYU does one, too.
Okay.
And so we kind of stumbled on it last year. It's awesome. Fun.
Nice.
Second graders in Middle School District are learning about Diwali.
Oh, well, there you go.
In their language arts.
Really, huh?
second graders, is that what you said? Mm-hmm.
That's interesting too.
You learn a lot more than I ever did.
Well, that's you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And then another one is our annual adult after hours event that we do in October. This year the theme is Music of the Night. So it's our kind of ball that we do. It's on Friday, October 24th. We sell tickets for that to help cover the cost because it's a pretty expensive event to host. And so tickets are available online. If you go to our events calendar and go to that date, you'll be able to purchase tickets right there in the event. But we're appreciative. We have a number of different vendors that we work with that help give us really good pricing and even donate a lot of their time and materials for some of the refreshments and that sort of a thing to help drive that cost down. But it's been really popular, and every year we get more and attendance from adults increases as kind of a pretty inexpensive activity that you can do here in the community. So if you're interested or know adults that would be interested, they can go register. This QR code on this slide will take you to our events page, and then you can scroll through and filter out by age group and that interest and that sort of thing. See what we have coming up. We have a few closures that are coming up on Monday, October 13th is our annual staff development day. So we close, we've done it the last few years. We take advantage of Columbus Day, right? Indigenous Peoples Day. Often people think we're closed anyways on that day. So we close and we do all of our annual staff training. This year we're going to invite, if you would like to come, I get that a lot of you have employment responsibilities, but if you'd like to come, you're welcome, or if you want to come just for lunch, it's from 12 to 1. Typically for lunch, we have the city manager and the assistant city manager come, and they just do like an open FAQ, so you can ask about anything going on in the city, and they're in the hot seat. But a lot of the different sessions that we'll have like emergency response training from our emergency manager. How do we respond to emergencies here in the building? We're going to have a naloxone and Narcan training from the Utah County Health Department. We'll have a couple of police officers come and do a training on de-escalation tactics and how to work with patrons that are maybe a little bit frustrated and how we can work through those situations. And then we'll have trainings that are very specific to tasks that our staff do and that sort of a thing. One that's all about programming and helping all of our staff understand all the programs that we offer, the intended audiences and those sorts of things. Because if you work at CERC, you could get asked about any program. And so having kind of a rundown of what we offer is helpful for them. So, but again, you're welcome to pop in at any time throughout that day if you're interested. Or if you want to come for lunch, let me know and we'll make sure that we've got food for you. And you can come enjoy lunch with the library staff.
I just put lunch down.
I did too.
Okay.
Melanie and I will come.
Me and Stacey can come to lunch.
Come for lunch.
You want to join us?
We would love it.
I don't know that I can.
Save us. Okay.
I think we're doing Zao. I've never had Zao. That's what we're having for lunch.
I like
Zao. And then Halloween, it's a Friday this year, but so we typically close at 5 o'clock on Halloween just so that families can get home and celebrate and that sort of thing. So it's less of an impact this year because Fridays we close at 6 o'clock, so it'll be just an hour earlier than what we would typically close. Okay. I think we don't have any materials reconsideration requests to go over this month. So we have three policy changes or new policies that are on the agenda that we'd like to review with you. A couple of these were in our strategic plan, and so we're kind of just jumping right into it and tackling some of these things we'd like to tackle in our strategic plan. So the first one, and a lot of these are focused on accounts, fines, and fees. And we're not going fine-free, right? But we're looking for ways that we can help alleviate maybe the burden that fines or fees have on some accounts. So the first one, right now our policy is if you have an item that's deemed lost, right? It's overdue by 3 months. We mark it as lost. if with, let's say you pay that fine or fee for that lost item on your account, well, you have 3 months to find that item after you've paid for it. And if you do, we'll refund you whatever you paid for that item. But we've had some occasions where someone pays for it and then they find it 4 months later and they come back. Sorry, like, we'll only refund you after 3 months. But oftentimes those materials, we'll still take them back and we'll go put them back on the shelf. So I may or may not have replaced the item, but the item is now back in circulation, right? But I would like to just recognize patrons and give them opportunities to make their account in good standing, regardless of how long the item is overdue. I may or may not replace it. I don't care. I just want you, if this is what's keeping you from coming back, is the stack of picture books that are sitting on your kid's bookshelf and you thought, well, I can't take them back now. It's been too long. It's never too long. Just bring them back. And so that's the intent of this policy. So the red lines are changes to the existing policy. The black is what is existing. So how it would read is, if lost items are returned in good condition, so you can't bring it back in terrible condition, like that's not acceptable. But if it's in good condition to where we could still use it, regardless of when the item was originally due, the library will refund or credit the full retail price of the item to the patron. If the fee was paid within the last 3 months, the patron may choose to receive the refund as a credit to their library account, or as a refund to the original credit or debit card used to pay the fines or fees, or in the form of a check. We don't offer cash refunds. Those aren't available. If the fee was paid more than 3 months ago, then the amount will be applied as a credit to the patron's account. This is just so that I don't have to go back and refund something from 2 years ago, right? Like, if the patron chooses, and this is all existing language, if the patron chooses to receive the refund in the form of a check, a $2 processing fee will be deducted from the full amount of the refund. No processing fee will be charged if the patron chooses to receive the refund as a credit to their library account or back to the credit or debit card to which the fines were originally charged. No refund will be issued for overdue fines accrued on the lost items that were returned. So we're just talking about the lost damage, that fee, right? Really the lost fee for the overdues. But in many cases, we end up waiving the overdues anyways because we're pretty lenient. And again, we just want people to come back. So any questions on this? Questions, thoughts, suggestions, ideas?
I read through it when you sent the email and I felt like it was good. So that's my comment.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's fair.
It is good. Yes. Okay, the next one, this is a new policy. This is looking at writing off fines after a certain amount of time. So to give you some context, we have fines still in our system dating back to 1996.
No.
Almost way. 30 years old. And so when I was in, I think I was in undergrad school at the U, I went to the county library up in Salt Lake County to, I think, print some papers off. Maybe I was checking out a book. I can't remember what it was. I went to use my card and it was blocked. And I probably hadn't been to the county library in a while, right, at this point. And so I go up to the desk and there were lost materials on my account or overdues from when I was in like middle school.
No.
Oh, shit.
It had been like 10 plus years and I had to pay, it was like $40 or whatever. I had to pay on my account. I'm like, it's been 10 years. Like, really? So
wow.
I feel like we could do better, right? And I don't need to hold on to fees that are 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Our finance department, they waive utility balances after a certain number of years because you're just not going to collect them after a certain amount of time, right? Many of these accounts, they've probably either moved away, maybe they've passed away. I'm not going to get it, right? I'm not going to collect that money anyway. So let's get them off the books. So how the policy would read is that, again, to encourage former patrons to return to the library usage while maintaining responsible borrowing practices, the library will routinely review delinquent accounts and waive fines in accordance with the following provisions. So eligibility for fine removal, overdue lost and damaged fines or fees that are older than 5 years from the date of accrual will be written off. Account status after fine removal. So accounts that have fines or fees in excess of $10, because right now you can use your account if you have less than $10 in fines. So if we waive more than $10 in fines on your account, we'll move your account to a new status that's called returning resident, not restricted resident or anything. We want it to be kind of a positive, right? You're coming back. But because we've waived a larger amount on your account, we're going to move you to essentially the same as our new resident account status, where you can't check out 50 things, you can check out 10. And we'll have you on that for up to 6 months. And if you can show, you know, appropriate borrowing habits, right? If we're looking at Section C, after a period of 6 months, if they can keep their account in good standing, meaning they have no fines or fees in excess of $10, then they can request to be moved back to that higher circulation limit of 50 items. We already keep a record of all the fines that we waive within our system, so that's already happening. And then we also document the date and the amount and the reason why fines are waived within our system. So we're already doing kind of the record-keeping side. And then how we would do this is we would just do it annually. So rather than it being this recurring, you know, we're always working on it, just January of every year, we'll go and waive anything that was older than 5 years. And once, after we do it the first time, it'll just be 1 year's worth of fines and fees that we're waiving, right? And then we'll instruct our staff that if someone misses the cutoff by like a month, you know, if you're looking at it and someone comes in and their accountant has fines or fees that are older than 5 years, they just miss that January cutoff, be flexible, waive them throughout the year as they come up. So to give you a little bit of context of what this would mean, this would have impact about 2,000 accounts. Right now we have $70,000 in fines that are older than 5 years. We have a total of about $110,000 in fines that are outstanding. So there'd still be about 40,000 that are on the books that are within the last 5 years. But you can kind of see this chart. 2020, we weren't charging overdue, so there aren't a lot of outstanding balances from 2020.
Last year was rough.
Yeah. But with time, more and more fees get paid, right? So as the fines and fees get older, you typically have fewer fines and fees that are outstanding. As you can see, right, between 1995 and like 2014, there aren't really high balances within this date range, right? So it would be a significant first, like one time that we're waiving 70 grand, but I'm not collecting these $100 from 1998.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it, right? And that's a good financial practice anyways, right? Again, our finance department waives utility accounts, I believe, after 5 years because they're not going to collect on them. So then I was also looking at, okay, well, if I look at all fines and fees that were paid over the last 3 years, how many of them were for fines that were accrued before 2020? And of that, $3,000 worth of fines over the last 3 years have been paid for fines that were older than 5 years. But I've had like over $70,000 in fines and fees paid during that same period. So it was like 7%. It's a really small percentage. And again, you can see the older the fine, the less likely that it's going to get paid over time, right? So again, we're not going to go fine free, but this is another way that we can just try and help those accounts that maybe, and I'm sure there are a lot of these that won't come back. They moved, passed away, something, but it may be an impetus for others, right, to return to library usage. So
how do we get that word out?
Good question. So we just last month had a service agreement that we signed with a company. It's called Orange Boy. They have a marketing tool that's called Savannah. It's an email marketing tool that syncs with our library system. And so it uses account data, and even we can have it use circulation data so that we can send targeted emails. So if I go waive a bunch of fines and fees, I can send an email to those accounts that were affected and say, hey, come back. You're a patron that, per our policy, we've waived old fines and fees. Your account is now in good standing. Come back to the library. And then because of the email marketing system, right, I can track opens, clicks, that sort of a thing. And we can come up with some internal ways of trying to monitor how many of those accounts end up coming back and see what type of impact it has. So that will be one of the tools that we use. We'll use it for a lot of other things. We're going to start working on like a monthly library newsletter that, because we can only fit so much in the city's library corner and the city newsletter. So we'll do a library specific email, and then patrons will be able to sign up for different themed emails, right? If you want teen events, teen and adult events, you want children's events, we'll have targeted email emailing that we can do that way. So there's a lot that we'll be able to do with it. And this will just be one of the things that we do with targeting some of those accounts. We'll also set up some emails that will be automated so that if an account signs up, for example, and they haven't used their account after 1 to 3 months or whatever, they'll get a reminder email. Hey, come use the library. We noticed you haven't seen you in a while. Come back, that sort of a thing. And then better emails as accounts get ready to expire, right? Your account's about to expire in a month. And then as we get into talking about deleting accounts, right, we'll start sending emails. Your account is going to be deleted because it hasn't been used in 5 years or whatever. If you want to come back, here's your chance, right? So
that's going to be great.
And that kind of segues into this new policy again, that we'll go in and delete accounts that have been expired for more than 5 years. So this will happen after any fines or fees that have accrued on the account have been waived. And then they get a little bit more leeway, and if they still don't come back after 5 years of expiration, then we'll go delete the account. This helps that I'm not preserving account, like personal private information in my database forever, right? That patron that hasn't been here since 96, let's delete their account information, and I don't have that risk of that account data being on hold. We estimate that there's about 3,500 accounts that have been expired for more than 5 years, plus secondary cards, right? So maybe it's 3,500 parents, right? But then each kid had their own library card. Now those kids have grown up and moved out and whatnot. So it'll be larger than 35 that we go and delete, 3,500. But again, it'll help us keep our database clean and that sort of a thing. So. And this one, again, will be one that we'll probably just do on an annual basis so that we're not constantly deleting old accounts. So, any thoughts or concerns on any of those other policies? Cool. Well, I would entertain a motion to recommend approving those three policies. Motion from Ben, second from Melanie. All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Great. So as kind of a reminder, now what happens is any policies that you guys recommend, then they go to the city manager and the city attorney. They review them, and then they adopt them and codify them into our library policy. So I'll work with them starting tomorrow to get those added to our policy document. And we can start working on waiving those fines and reaching out to patrons and encourage them to come back. So, okay. That was everything that I had on the agenda for today. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about? Any questions, concerns you guys have, things that we can address?
No, but I just wanted to kind of give an anecdotal thing. So I'd reached out to Haley about the team reading this section on the website, and we kind of discussed how that's being updated. But then she put me in touch with, remind me of the name of the person who was over between.
Suzanne. Yeah.
And about like having reading lists that could be distributed to like English teachers in middle school and things like that. And she was on board with that. Most of the time, just have them printed out and here available mm-hmm. for patrons to get. But I asked her if she could forward me like a digital version of the different genre reading lists, and she did. And so I forwarded that on to my daughter's 7th grade English teacher, and she was like, can I share this with the other English teachers here at Maple Grove Middle School? And she was like, yes.
Nice.
So it's good because it's getting, because my whole purpose of reaching out to her, the English teacher, was like, we want kids to come to the library and we want them to be interested in reading. So let's see if we can facilitate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They, you know, the first part of the school year, they were talking about genres and things like that anyway. So I was like, well, this is a perfect segue into getting them interested in those different genres. So I'm hopeful that I can maybe reach out to other middle schools and junior highs in the district and pass that information.
Yeah. And if you have contacts, please, like, we'd love, like, Becky helping connect us with the school librarians has been really great. And so if you have other contacts at schools or at the district that can help us get in, some schools are more responsive than others.
Spanish Oaks cannot get enough of you guys.
But having an in really helps. So, like, Haley has started doing, she goes to, I think, parent-teacher conferences.
That's cool.
So she sets up a table out in the lobby so that as parents are coming in to the middle schools and the high schools and the junior highs, the library's there as a resource. We can sign up for library cards, that sort of a thing.
Oh,
so, wow.
How does that work with Maple Grove? Like, because half of it's Mapleton, isn't it?
Yeah.
But do most Mapleton people come to the library anyway?
There are a fair amount of
Mapleton
Spanish
people.
Yeah. They would have to go to Springville or Spanish.
Or Spanish.
Yeah. They have enough money. They can pay the out-of-town.
That's true.
Yeah, they either go here or Springville. But yeah, it's one of those schools, right, that serves both. Same with like Maple Ridge.
Oh, that's true.
But you know, I know people at Diamond Fork Middle as well, so I can kind of reach out to them and pass on the same information.
Pass it to the librarians too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know them, but pass it to them.
Right. Okay.
Pass it to me too.
I think we've had less success with the middle school, junior high, and high school librarians. I feel like historically we have a better shot with the English teachers than we do with the librarians.
That makes sense. Because it's different. But in middle school, they don't have like library time.
Time where they go.
Yeah.
And exactly.
Where they have English.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, because I know in her class, she was just, the teacher was just saying, like, we give them a specific amount of time every class period to read the book of their choice.
Oh, cool.
And they just read that book. And so
that's
it's just
awesome.
About getting them interested in the activity of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So
remind me of what both of your jobs are.
I am an arts integration coach for the Neva School District.
Arts
for K-5.
So he's at different schools every year.
Yeah, four different
schools. Where are you
schools.
At now?
I'm at Spring Lake and Payson.
Huh?
Yeah.
And what does that job look like?
So I provide professional development for teachers, and it typically looks like modeling an arts integration strategy in their classroom with their students so that they can then transfer those strategies into their own practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it is fun.
Oh, yes.
I am a celebrity at the schools because, you know, the kids are just like, this is awesome.
Good.
It's all about engagement and retention and things like that, and the arts do that really well for making brain connections. So.
Yeah. Cool, Ben.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's a good job.
Becky, what about you?
I'm librarian at Westside Elementary.
Okay.
Real.
Okay. Fun job.
Yeah, sometimes. We got some behaviors. Woo! We got some behaviors.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, kudos to what you guys do. My third grader, when we ask him what he wants to be when he grows up, he says he wants to be a teacher. You say, well, what do you want to teach? And he's like, I want to teach specialties. Because
yes.
He loves library, he loves
yep.
art,
aww.
He loves music. PE, not so much. He's not like...
What school's he at?
Maple Ridge.
Okay.
So...
That's cute.
The arts and library, right, are huge for kids, right? It's a great resource.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Thank you for what you guys do.
Yeah.
It's
fun. Very rewarding, I'm sure.
Tuesdays are rough, but...
What's Tuesdays?
The fifth grade on Tuesday, you guys. There's 34 of them.
Hormones already.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm so sad. It's great.
Good luck.
Any other items you guys want to discuss before we adjourn?
Life is good. You guys are doing good.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
I hear great things all the time about the library.
Good.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Very
it's
cool.
Great.
For sure.
Okay.
Oh, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So, I assume it's a chatbot. Like when you come to the library, it says chat with us. Is it a chatbot? Because today, when I went on, Christine's picture came up. Is it really Christine?
Well, it's anyone.
Okay.
So, if you were to go text the library right now, someone go do it. Does anyone have it? Or just pull up your phone and type
801-804-4480.
801-804-4480.
Okay.
Oh, my battery's not dead on my laptop.
Like in a message format?
A text message. Send a text message.
I just wondered, because I've never seen Christine's picture pop up, so I was going to be like, hey, Christine, what's going on? But I didn't know if it was like a different person. It's usually a guy's picture.
So if you go to the city's website, it's probably going to show Jack, who's the city's public information officer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for the library, we had to pick an employee. So we felt like Christine's kind of the face of the library.
Okay.
So we picked Christine's.
Okay, so
but
should I say something to someone?
Yeah, just text whatever you want.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
I won't pull it up there, but I've got it on my phone. So all of our messages, whether it's a holds notice. So here I got a message from Melanie Shockley. Hi, you guys are doing amazing. So we have a lot of like templates that are created because we have a lot of the same questions that get asked, right? Like, what's my PIN? Can you renew this item? My account's expired. So we've got templates that we can go in and say, apply this template, and it'll throw in, hi, Melanie, this is, and then whoever's logged in. So if I'm logged in, it'll say, this is Scott. And then I don't have to type the same thing over and over again.
Oh, nice.
But then I can do custom responses. So thanks, Melanie.
I just wondered. I love it.
That's amazing.
So,
I noticed it being Christine until today.
And then you should have just gotten a text back.
That's awesome.
So,
is that popular? Do people chat a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which is really great because a few years ago our notifications went through a different system. So you would get a text message from some random number, right? And you couldn't text back. It was only one-way communication. And then the city implemented the system. It's called Podium. And so you can, that number that I gave you, that's our phone number. So you can call it, you can text it, and it's all going to come to the same place. And then all of our notices, again, get routed through that same number so that if you are signed up for text notifications for your account, you can go to this number and you'll see your history of all the notifications. So like we'll get patrons that they'll get notified for a hold and they'll respond and say, hey, I'm out of town. I can't pick it up until Tuesday. Can you freeze my hold? And we can respond back and have that dialogue rather than it just being this one way.
You could do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, don't tell her.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Please hold my hold.
You can log in to your account and you can do it that way as well. Or you can go in and renew your holds manually that way.
But it's good to get me coming and pick it up. So that's good.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of services out there that are chatbots that are AI generated and all that sort of a thing. But we have, at any given time, there's probably three or four of us that are logged in that are monitoring messages. And if they don't get responded to within 5 minutes, I get an email. And then I can follow up and say, hey, you need to go and respond to this message. We want to be prompt in our responses. So
now we'll all be like, hey, how's it going? No, I'm just kidding.
But most city departments, like city administration has one, Public Works, Police Department, Parks and Rec, the Fit City Center, they just got their number set up so you can text the Fit City Center. So most of the time it's going to be an actual human being.
Okay.
And if it's over the weekend, then it's usually me that's watching it and I'll respond.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Fit City Center's been great.
Yeah.
Did you buy your membership?
I'm going to.
Got to lock it in.
Okay, any other comments, thoughts, suggestions?
No, but thank you for that explanation.
Okay. Yep. So we adjourn 5:44. I guess all in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? No. Perfect.
Opposed to adjourning.
Thank you.
No way.
You should do that one time in a council meeting.
I don't know if we word it like that.
Opposed to adjourning?
I guess we do.